a t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors. The difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Learn why at schwabvious.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
A t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors. The difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Learn why at schwabvious.com.
This is Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Inside the evidence, behind the headlines, from someone who's been there. Here now, Jennifer Coffendaffer.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Wanted to come live at this point because of the breaking news regarding the Melody Buzzard case. Specifically, for those of you who don't know this case, Ashley Buzzard, the mother and sole custodian of Melody Buzzard, had been keeping Melody basically away from family, away from other individuals for quite an extended period of time, and was ultimately reported to authorities by the school district when she wasn't checking in on time. She was purportedly homeschooling, but there are certain requirements, and one of those was reporting in. Anyway, the school district contacted Melody and authorities, and ultimately that set off kind of a wild string of events that resulted in Melody being missing. Specifically, the last time Melody has been seen was on October 9th. On October 7th, Ashley Buzzard took off with Melody. We know this because there was film footage across country to someplace in Nebraska. That's authorities have only showed us the route returning, which you can see here, which went through Kansas. So anyway, I just wanted to give you all the background of sort of why we've been looking into this case really from minute one. It's so interesting. This was just one of the many missing cases in doing a morning scrub I looked at and immediately put it up because I was concerned that we had a Harmony Montgomery type case that she'd been missing for an extended amount of time. But as we learned more and more information, actually there's a Google photo where she's, where she's alive and in the photo, it became more evident that this was something that she wasn't dead. She was merely just being sort of sequestered away from society. But this case took a very interesting turn, and I'll just call him Tyler. I understand what his true name. He has a full name, and Tyler is really a middle name. But basically, he reported that on November 6th, that he again was a longtime friend of of Ashley Buzzard's. He said since, I believe, 2014, he had known her. He works in the legal sphere, purportedly as a paralegal. And anyway, he goes to her house on multiple occasions, but on this particular occasion, on November 16th, he reported that essentially She told him he couldn't leave. And that was after she, meaning Ashley, had told Tyler about the location of Melody and that she became hostile and it had all sorts of descriptions, really describing somebody that was crazy, disoriented, and so forth. So ultimately what happened was, of course, under those parameters and under those set of facts and circumstances, as explained by Tyler, Ashley was put in handcuffs and was taken away and put under actually a very large bond of $100,000 and ultimately posted that bond, which I still think is very interesting. I want to know who posted that. But I want to go over really quickly this California statute of false imprisonment, which essentially is what they charged her with. So a false imprisonment charge, it can be both a misdemeanor or a felony. And that, of course, is dependent on the circumstances. It's defined as the unlawful restraint or confinement of a person without their consent. Misdemeanor penalties include up to a year in county jail or a fine of $1,000. A felony charge applies if the confinement involved violence, menace, fraud, and that can carry a sentence of 16 months up to 2 or 3 years. So we really didn't know what we were looking at because, as reported, she had purportedly kept Tyler locked up. This is the door that was actually one of the photos that was showed during court. And I want to give my buddy Brian Inton credit for the photos that were taken there in court, for getting those out to us. Let me show you another one. This is a really important one. Purportedly, you know, used a box cutter. Well, we find out basically, in my opinion, the facts that were set forth by Tyler were really exacerbated what happened in a big way. For instance, this is the box cutter. And he mentions that she was sitting down sort of close to the box cutter, and he feared that she would get the box cutter and somehow attack him. So I thought that was all very interesting, and that, again, she locked these doors. But, you know, as I wrote today on Twitter, I tell you what, the fox was outfoxed by Ashley, because what Ashley did was she surreptitiously recorded the conversation that took place. At least we got to hear about 3 minutes of it. Banfield had it on her show. And it was very interesting because I expected, when I heard Ashley Buzzard speak, I expected somebody who, at least from all the descriptions we had, would be sort of like this ranting lunatic and would be somebody that wouldn't be making any sense, somebody that would be sort of deliriously discussing things. Actually, the private investigator who has been, I'll say retained, but it's pro bono, he's working for free for the paternal side of the family. Remember, Ashley Buzzard's father died in a tragic accident when she was only 6 months old, Melody Buzzard, only 6 months old, leaving Ashley to take care of her. And according to family, that's when things sort of started declining. Her paternal family hasn't even seen Melody for over 4 years. That's a long time, considering it's about half of her life. Melody's 9 now. And her mother, meaning Ashley's mother, hasn't seen her for almost 2 years. So this is a family that has been totally estranged from Melody and from seeing Melody. This photo, by the way, was taken when Melody was quite young, 2 years ago, so about 7 years old. The last photo we have of Melody is right here, and she's obviously in a wig, she's in this hoodie, and she's pretty well disguised. This was at the rental car company before they started on this trip. Now, so staying focused on this false imprisonment charges that were, the judge basically said he reviewed the tape. Everybody got to hear that. It's only about 3 minutes long. You know, that made me wonder, was that beginning to end? purportedly, according to Tyler, she had said where he went. Where was all this information at? Where was all the information pertaining to him being scared and that she wouldn't let him out and all of that? Because that's not what we heard on the tape. I mean, on the tape, it was crystal clear. Hey, listen, you want to go? Basically, you can go. He says, I want to go. You could go. And she really sets out that she thinks he has issues. She talks about him maybe being bipolar and really turns the tables on him. Obviously, she knows she's recording, so she's saying everything just right to make herself, I think, look in a favorable light on this. But it really, in my opinion, made Tyler look really bad. Unless there's more that was recorded that she cut out. In other words, we only see 3 minutes or heard 3 minutes. Maybe there was more, but it looks really bad. And she even says, Tyler, you know, you just want to be in the limelight. You just want the publicity, because she knows obviously cameras all over, you know, the media is now really paying close attention to this story. And she sort of points the finger at him as just wanting to, you know, be in the spotlight on this deal. So in doing a little research on Tyler, I mean, certainly he uses different names. You know, he's quite an interesting cat. I wish we would have known that information prior to going in. I think a lot of people might have taken a second look at this, but I'm glad they did a preliminary hearing, because quite frankly, these were really not charges that should have been brought against her, to be honest, in my opinion. The judge certainly agreed with it. But what I want to know is what was really gained by this? And remember, right after he went in, he spoke to detectives. I found that interesting. I don't think this was, at least this isn't how the FBI would ever do an operation. He would have been wired. Everything would have been photographed going in, going out. I think that would have all been available during court if that happened. But I think he might have just done it on his own and then let law enforcement know. At least that's what law enforcement is indicating. They said, listen, we did not send him in there. But they did speak with him right after. So I find the whole situation quite interesting. I think it was such a unique idea to have a friend go in there, for this friend to volunteer to go in there. But basically, she sniffed out the rat right away. I mean, this is a woman who, especially after hearing her talk and knowing that she recorded this surreptitiously and just learning more and more about her, this is not a dumb woman. Actually, she says that on tape. She says, I'm a smart woman. And I think she is. And I think she's very manipulative. But nevertheless, no charges against her. But what happened when she was in lockup? Hopefully somebody gave her a psych evaluation. Did they? Didn't they? I'm so curious to know what was done. Was anything done by law enforcement, you know, to put in an undercover in her cell to try to glean information? Was anything done on this case? And the reason we don't know about any of that is this judge did not want to conflate two different cases. He wanted to keep completely separate the false imprisonment and keep it separated from anything and everything to do with really what everybody's worried about, and that is Melody. And I find that, quite frankly, kind of concerning. I see a lot of opportunity that would have been there for law enforcement to take a hold of. I still have said multiple times, and other individuals in law enforcement and in the judiciary and attorneys agree, there's just no reason why she hasn't been called before the court. When I say the court, I mean a dependency court, a court where a judge can actually ask her questions and make a determination as to what she's done with Melody. And if she doesn't answer, she can be held in contempt. We're all dumbfounded about that. I don't understand it. I don't know whether they have a huge backlog and they just aren't going to do it. Maybe they did do it. I posted before, and I also came out on and talked about a woman who is a very low key, you know, not well known TikToker who was following sort of Ashley around and went to the courthouse and ended up making a phone call from within asking about if Ashley was going to be released. And somebody says, well, she may or may not be released. So we know she was at least in the courthouse on a different occasion, but that could have been related to so many other issues. It could have been related to Ashley or to Melody. And the reason I say we don't know is anything that happens in dependency court is secret. We're never going to see it in these minor courts. There's no televisions. There's no transcripts that are going to be released. There's no way to be a party to these sort of hearings. So there is a lot we really, I feel like, don't know. But what we do know is that the FBI, law enforcement is full on all over this. We learned in court that they have her under surveillance, which, you know, we spoke about before, fully expected her to be under surveillance because we kind of have a little bit of a Brian Laundrie situation, even though we hope it doesn't turn out like that. And I say that because we have a missing person, which Gabby Petito was always initially just missing. And we have somebody who returned from a trip, just like Brian and Gabby did from the trip, come back to the house where they lived without one person. And so, of course, law enforcement did exactly what law enforcement did here. In the Gabby Petito case, they searched that residence and the car, the vehicle involved. In this case, Ashley doesn't have a car. She uses rental cars and she uses ride shares. So they searched the rental car, that Malibu that they took cross country. We don't know the results from any of those searches, but we do know that after all these warrants were done, meaning they searched the house on two separate search warrants, they searched the storage locker, they searched the Malibu. And in fact, incident to arrest, it seems like they did some sort of searching because there were some bags and things that were taken out of the house upon her arrest. So I would think they would have gotten another search warrant for that. So nevertheless, the whole point being is that it seems like we are no closer to knowing where Melody is, despite this golden opportunity, in my opinion, to have Ashley locked up behind bars where they could force or at least try to obtain some sort of psychological evaluation. Obviously, she could have just tried not to participate, and she might have done that because she's a smart woman and she probably knew, of course, she's sitting on this recording, which we all discovered during the preliminary hearing, right? Where that's where a judge gets to look over what evidence the state has and the defense is able to also put on evidence to determine whether there's enough information to hold somebody regarding those charges. So the whole thing played out, but did law enforcement gain anything during the time they had her in regard to Melody's case? At this point, we don't know, but we're not seeing certainly any movement against her. What I do find interesting, and I wanted to bring this up again, is the private investigator hired by the paternal family has made a lot of inroads, and he believes pretty much unequivocally that she arrived, meaning Ashley and Melody. Melody arrived back into the state of California to Ventura County. He believes he's tracked Melody to at least Ventura County. I also find it interesting that according to the PI again, that they were in the vicinity of where Ashley's husband was buried. And I found that to be very interesting. Also, and I know I've said this multiple times, this is a 3,000-mile trek that they did in 3 days. That's virtually almost a sleepless situation when you consider gas, when you consider stopping to get something to eat, unless she didn't feed her, which we know from the maternal grandmother that, and you can see here how skinny she is, They didn't have food that was edible in the house, according to the maternal grandmother, and there was rotten food, and she was worried that, you know, she might be feeding her that. So, you know, it's hard to tell specifically how thin she is, but she looks pretty thin here to me. And so we don't know how much they were able to stop to eat, but you certainly have to stop to get gas at multiple locations. And that would be easily trackable because of the credit card situation. She used a credit card to rent the car, and that credit card would likely have been used along the way. And I think that's why the FBI has been able to, and this is the part the FBI would have been handling, is all this interstate, because the local authority, Lompoc, there's none of the local authorities have the authority to conduct this investigation. So they have her trekked back. Again, she deviated from the highway and went on a rural route. That is in and of itself concerning. Changed license plates. But I found it very interesting that purportedly she made it back to California. And I also find that interesting because according to, we already knew she tried to rent a car at two different locations. That was according to reporting that was done by the Daily Mail, because they had people following her. So followed her, and purportedly she wasn't able to rent a car. This PI said, though, that she rented a car. So maybe that was after the Daily Mail pulled their surveillance off of her, because surveillance takes a lot of man hours. And a lot of times you're just sitting there staring at a house, which I think is mostly what happens in this case, right? The person doesn't come out, particularly her on tape. As I recall, you know, they go to a back room. She doesn't want to be seen by cameras because she knows people are outside. And even though the view would be obstructed, she wants to be out of view, meaning Ashley, when she was with Tyler. So long story short, I think it makes a lot of sense to me that if something happened to Melody, it would have happened closer to home, because I think this mother is definitely hell-bent on being in charge of Melody. Whether she's deceased or whether she's alive and she has her with somebody that only she knows about and that person's not coming out, or whether she had a psychotic break of some nature and she put her somewhere in a barn or some other place where in her mind it was safe for her and left her there. All of it's concerning, but just the stress of being on a trip like that for both of these individuals, of, you know, the food situation, driving, the lack of sleep you would get. We haven't heard about them ever staying in any hotels or any Airbnbs or any lodging. Did they sleep in the cars when they did sleep? She would have been, meaning Ashley, completely sleep deprived. And that only exacerbates when somebody's having a mental issue. So it makes a lot of sense to me what the PI is saying, is that she made it back and would have been close to her, because I would think if her modes of transportation are only ride shares and rental cars, that she would want to be close to being able to see where she kept her. I'm going to look at chat here quick for a second before I go. Didn't want to do a long live, but I felt like this was such important information if you hadn't heard about it. Because basically law enforcement has really lost their edge. I hope that they can keep good tabs on her. Now there's no ankle monitor to assist with keeping track of her. We don't want another Brian Laundry situation where he gets out or she gets out. In any event, I'm just going to look down at chat really quick. You know, this was something interesting. So people are asking about the husband. There's a situation where Ashley goes outside and she's livid about, apparently livid, judging by her actions, all these missing, you know, posters and things and photos. And I comment about that because it doesn't surprise me that she's mad about them, because she knows where Melody is. this isn't like your normal missing case where you have the Petitos and the Schmidts, you know, completely broken down, you know, sad, trying to find their missing daughter. She's the one responsible. She knows where she's at. So of course she doesn't want anybody to find her. If she wanted people to help find her, she would just bring her back or tell everybody where she's at, but that's not her state of mind. So it doesn't surprise me that she's out destroying missing flyers. But what recent reporting was, is that with one of the flyers, it apparently had the husband. And if this is true and accurate reporting, that she paused and showed some sense of being upset about that. And I found that very interesting, and I believe it would be accurate reporting. So, you know, especially if he was the trigger, his death was the trigger for her to have this psychiatric downhill spiral. I'll keep you guys up to date with all these little nuggets. I'm watching, you know, every avenue I can to try to get information from all the different avenues, because there's not just one good source. There's multiple different sources and areas to try to glean all of it and just kind of bring it together for everyone. I wish I was there. I really wish I was there to sniff around. But anyway, I'm just praying that Melody can be brought back safely and that she decided to keep her alive. Again, I think the best case scenario is she met somebody online and entrusted this person she met to keep Melody. And that person too, you know, is probably so paranoid that she hasn't come forward to authorities because she wouldn't trust authorities. That's the best case scenario that I can think of. It's not a great scenario, but that's sort of the best scenario I could think of. Because if she left her someplace, delusionally thinking it was okay to leave her there, that wouldn't be okay. I mean, it's been weeks now. And of course, the worst scenario is that something happened in this trip and Melody lost her life at the hands of Ashley, trying to get complete control of the situation. Exhausted, tired, having traveled this huge distance, maybe not well fed, exhausted. We hope that that didn't happen and some, you know, fight could have ensued. The other thing I think that I would be focusing on if I was law enforcement out there working this case is the true reason for this. I've told you that I really think that it's a very likely scenario that it was a complete break and just driving around. But let's think about a more practical, now that I've heard her speak on tape, what if it's a much more practical situation involving some sort of contraband? It's involving some sort of delivery. Who posted her bond? Who's paying for her bills? I mean, she's likely on government, you know, subsistence, and then she's got the money Melody would be getting from the death of the father, likely. But is that enough to pay for that house, for her ride shares, for her wigs, for her Amazon packages that we see? I don't know. I feel like we're missing something. Anyway, everyone, I want to thank you for being here. I know these lives are last minute, but I really appreciate y'all being here and tuning in. And until next time, may Melody be found and may justice be served. Thank you again.
Want to break the case with Jennifer Coffendaffer even more? Then press subscribe right now and join Jen on YouTube. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer now.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.